Raised Rowdy.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast, and my name is Kurt Ozon.
I'm Nikki T. And our guest is Mr. Mitchell Tenpenny. Thank you for being
What's
here,
What's up,
man.
Guys? Thank you for having me.
What up, bro?
Been wanting to do this for a while. Thank you.
Yeah, we just had the wife on. That pod will be dropping by the time this comes out. It'll already be out.
Oh, great.
Out,
but, Can't wait to see it. Yeah, she was excited. Thank you.
We had a really good time with her. We, of course, longtime fans of both of you guys. So.
Thank you, man. She's, unbiasedly, she's such a badass, man. I'm so excited for her. And, yeah, she just had her ad date officially yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So
she got a bunch of ads. I saw that too, which is very cool.
Yeah,
I'm excited for
that pod. I thought we were gonna like cut up on and be joking a lot, but it was like very inspiring and like informative.
Yeah,
right.
I think it was some like she gave a lot of nuggets for like young artists and people that are like going through this business.
Sure, yeah,
which was awesome.
She's been through it. She's been through every angle of it, I feel like, and. Like finally getting her chance in the States too, and there's just so much, and it's so hard. People don't understand it is, and there's a lot of music right now too.
Yeah,
so it's like, I don't know. Take any advice you can get from people that have done it. I'm trying to.
That's it. Well, speaking of new music, let's just jump right into that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure.
So the third record.
Yeah.
Which is aptly called The Third.
Yeah.
But can you explain kind of like the ins and outs of that, like where that came from?
Yeah, man. I mean, so I am the third. My name is James Mitchell Tenpenny the Third, and it is my third record. I don't know. It just kind of it felt right doing something simple instead of coming up with this crazy like name. Like I'm an emo kid at heart, and like part of me wants to do like a crazy name, like all those old emo records used to be, your rock records. But I don't know. The third just kind of worked. And my dad, you know, he's passed, unfortunately. My granddad's been gone for a little bit, and I just wanted to kind of pay homage to them and say thank you for, you know, not turning your kid away from music.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends in this industry. I know you do. And we meet a lot of people that come to Nashville to do this. And their parents always say, like, don't do that. Like, it's a horrible idea. Like, and I just didn't have that. Dad was always at every show, whether it was the style of music he loved or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was going through my screamo emo phase and playing drums.
Yeah,
which it's not a phase. Never mind. Sorry.
It ain't a phase, Mom.
It's not a phase, Mom, Dad. But he was there, man. So I kind of just want to say thank you to that. And then, you know, I think as you get older and you start learning more and about who you are and where you come from, you kind of, I wanted to write a record that said, you know, how I want to be left behind too.
Yeah.
Like, what do I want people to think of when I'm gone? You know, you start thinking about your last name and where you come from and how you want to leave it. And so, I don't know. It just all kind of worked out with that three, and I just like the way the three looks. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Thank it's like you. A timepiece, too. It's like, you know, if you have kids, it's like they can go back and listen to all your records and
sure,
stuff
yeah.
like that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's definitely stories from and life lessons from the last 4 years, growing up, maturing, hopefully.
Yeah.
I just saw, unfortunately, that James Earl Jones died.
Yeah.
And I was thinking.
Oh, man, yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, if you're an actor and, you know, unfortunately you die, gotta die someday, right? Then it's like your family could, if they miss you, go back and watch all your movies and hear your voice on Lion King or whatever. But it's like if you're an artist, like your family can go back and listen to all your records and stuff, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, man. It's like make it a timeline so they can be like, oh, that's who he was then at that age.
Yeah.
Like that's how the first record was. And second, it's like you can kind of hopefully see some growth in there. Real quick, favorite movie of his?
I'm in Star Wars, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So his voice, okay.
Yeah, he's got to be, I mean, Darth Vader?
Yeah.
Darth Vader's incredible. The one that I never saw, I read a bunch of articles since he passed, and none of them are mentioning Sandlot.
Oh,
like one of the greatest movies ever, when he's the,
it was a great movie.
The big scary guy at the end. That's, you know, it was an awesome role.
He's been in a bunch of, like, iconic movies and stuff. I'm not, like, a huge, like, I like watching movies, but I'm, like, I don't have movie trivia. I don't have room in my brain for that shit. You know
you've got
I mean?
Too much. You got too many instruments.
Yeah, scales and scales. Fingerings.
Mixolydian.
And stuff. Yeah, true.
I was definitely a bigger movie guy when I was younger, and then as music became more a part of my life, kind of the same thing. Where it's like, that's like even for me now, it's like sports. Like, if I cared as much about sports now as I did when I was younger, then I probably wouldn't be able to think about all of the music and business stuff that I've been thinking about.
It is wild. Yeah, I thought about that the other day when we started I've been in a fantasy league with my high school buddies for like 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the last few years, I don't know anything going up to it. Yeah. Like, I don't. I'm a massive Titans fan, but I used to know every player. But now I know like five.
Yeah.
And so, and I feel bad, and I'll like try to, before I go to sleep, research just to like cram it in, and then I'll forget the next day.
Yeah.
We, you know, it's a good thing. We got other things going on, but
that's it.
I used to be really into fantasy baseball, which is like setting your lineups like
every
162
hour.
times a year, you know? Yeah. And I used to know like every, I wake up, drink coffee, and go in like Roto World and read like all the stats and everything. Now I'm just like, I guess because we don't really live in a baseball town yet, I guess.
Yeah, we're getting the stars, though. We're going to get them.
Yeah. I think that'll be great.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I was, like, of course, being in Pittsburgh, a huge Steelers fan, and then I was a Penguins fan because I had, like, just brothers that loved hockey, and they were so good, you know, like, when I was a kid. Like, they had Mario Lemieux, and then we got Crosby. Yeah. We had Jagr and then Crosby. So we just had a star the whole time.
They've always been great since I've been into hockey. Yeah. I mean, I'm born here, so in 98 when we got the Preds, like, I was all in, but I love Pittsburgh and New York when I was a kid when we didn't have a team.
Yeah.
I tried fantasy hockey one time too. Same thing. And I was like, I can't do this.
It's too much.
It's too much. Yeah. I'll do football, but we do like dynasty leagues. So,
okay, cool. Yeah.
I've been in a dynasty league since my first overall pick was Ricky Williams. So that tells you.
Oh, man. I got a Ricky Williams jersey, man. Old Dolphins. Yeah, let's go. That he was one of my favorites.
He was the best.
Good name, actually. I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah. If you and Megan are in, we got to watch some Bills Dolphins games together.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Thursday night, this Thursday.
Hey, come on over.
Yeah,
come
if you're
on.
In town.
Yeah, well, we're not in town Thursday, are we? Yeah. No, we're playing first show, headline show, Vegas. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish.
All right, well, there you go. That's a perfect segue.
That's the best one. Yeah, so you guys
And I never know that. I actually know that this time.
Yeah, it's coming. That's why. Yeah. So you guys are doing a headlining tour. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, like who you have out with you?
Yeah, I'm excited. We got the Costellos and Dylan Schneider. Yeah. You know, I met the Costellos this year on the cruise with Cappy, which was a lot of fun. And they're just talented, man. I kept seeing them pop up. And I was like, there's such a lane that's hasn't, you know, been taken in so long of like three females that are harmonizing, that play like more traditional instruments. I mean, it's literally since the Dixie Chicks or the Chicks, I haven't seen anything like that. And they're all sisters, which is cool.
Yeah.
And they're super talented. So I thought that was awesome to kind of give that perspective because we're like, you know, we fluctuate with our genres all the time. And ours, so it's cool to have that. And then Dylan's just been working his butt off for a while, man. I love people that hustle.
Yeah.
I love people that hustle in this game. And I've known him. I've known his manager for quite a while. So it just makes sense. So I'm excited to get out there with him.
That's great. Yeah. Any specific shows, like hometown shows or any like on the road that you're really looking forward to?
Yeah, we're not doing Nashville this year, which is always fun. Last time we did Nashville, we got to do two nights at the Ryman, which was special. But yeah, I'm just excited to try some of these new places out. We're going back to a couple we've done. L.A. is always fun.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. But yeah, man, just trying to experience some new places and figure out what's on there. Yeah.
Yeah, build the fans that are already there and show them what the live show's like. And then...
Absolutely, yeah. And we just got out of rehearsals. Like, we have a brand new live show that we've never done.
That's sick.
So if you've seen us before, it's not going to be anything like that. New production, new everything.
Yeah.
Really trying to step up the game and practice as players.
Yeah.
Which is hard because we're just a bunch of idiots. None of us are like, you know.
Bro, we're a bunch of idiots too, so, man. Yeah. None of us, and I talked about this before in the podcast, none of us are like Brent Mason or Paul Franklin out here.
I mean, you're right around there. I mean,
I appreciate that. That's not true. I'll take it though.
But yeah, so we just got a good MD and really sat down and focused on making the thing as best we could. And I'm excited to play. It's been fun so far.
Do you guys have some of the new tracks from the record out on the set list?
Yeah. We've got I think 4 or 5 new songs. And I'm always the guy that's like, play the songs that got you there too.
Play the hits. Yeah,
play the hits, man. Like, radio has given us a good career and streaming, and so we're gonna be playing those.
Right.
But also, some of these songs have popped off on social media, and we're gonna be playing those as well from the new record. And it's a balance of that, so it's gonna be a little bit of both. But I hate going to a show and not hearing the hits, man.
Oh yeah.
I got yelled at. I went to 1975, and I love the 1975, but I want to hear Chocolate.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I want to hear Chocolate too. I want to hear everything else. Mm. I love the deep cuts. I know them all, but I want to hear Chocolate. And they didn't play Chocolate. Mm. And I was bitching about it. And like everyone's like, oh, you're the guy that's got to hear it. I'm like, yes, I am that guy.
Yeah.
I go through like 100%. Play Chocolate.
Yeah, those are the people.
Play Crash, Dave Matthews.
Yeah. I mean, they're paying for tickets. You know, it's like the people that want to hear the hits are the ones buying the merch and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, and I still love 1975. I'm not talking, but it's great. I just, play the hits.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm as a music fan, there's definitely experiences. Like, my thing is, if you know going in that you might not hear it, then okay, you know?
Sure, well, yeah, yeah.
You might not hear Feathered Indians or something.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I heard he doesn't play that, right?
Anymore. Right, I think for he's got his reasons, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, I can understand that.
And then at some point, like Luke, you have so many hits that he has to start
when you get to
out.
Too many number ones and you can't play them all, I understand.
I remember in like 2015 or so, I was at my buddy Tom's house and he was playing bass for FGL at the time.
Yeah.
And I play dobro. So I was like, do you guys play Sundays? And he's like, oh, we haven't been playing it recently. I'm like, wasn't that a number one, like big fat number one on the radio? He's like, yeah. I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, they just, the thought that you could have so many hit songs that you couldn't play them all in one night, that was just.
I would love that problem.
Yeah. First world problem.
Great problem.
One day. Come on, Ellie. We're going to get it.
Get the more radio number ones. Have that many that the set can't hold them. Such a blessing.
But being out on the road with y'all, it's like, it's banger after banger. You don't even miss the ones you don't play. Like, y'all set is so great. And ending it, I kept telling y'all, but ending it with Oklahoma and a beer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's heavy as fuck.
Yeah, just
bro.
Heavy, dude. It's rocked, man. It's such a great set. So you don't even miss the ones that aren't played. You're just like, man, I just had a great time.
Yeah. Especially a long set like that. Like, you kind of almost forget that you didn't hear a song, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because
you're like, so into it.
Yeah, it's just like one after another. You're like, you don't even remember. And it's, I enjoyed that, man. That was fun.
What are the songs that in your live set you think hit the most home? You know, the hits that you have that have meant the most to fans?
Yeah, I mean, the ones, you know, radio's given us a few number ones. So, like, Drunk Me, Truth About You, We Got History. But then we have, like, you know, Bitches, that's been, like, a staple for us for a long time. And we chose not to play it on the tour with Luke because we only got, you know, so many songs, eight songs. And we didn't want to, like, if you're just discovering us, be like, oh, I like that guy. Ooh, what? I don't get that song. You know, like, you
kind of got to polarize.
Yeah, you got to kind of come with us to understand what that song's about.
Guys can be bitches too, though.
No, that's what the whole song's about. And I say that before we play the show. It's not about calling girls bitches or guys bitches. It's about calling bitches.
Yeah. You
know what I'm saying? So we all live with them around us. But yeah, so we just did a new. I can't wait for people to hear the new version of Bitches we do live. My brother Rafe, he plays bass with me. He's got a feature in that. That's pretty fun. And
oh, that's great.
So I'm excited
it's him
to get
singing
to play
in like a female voice.
Yeah, that would be. He could actually do that. We're throwing it back to some '90s rap. So it'll be pretty
sick.
Fun. Yeah.
Definitely, I think when I was listening to your music just to get a refresher, not that I didn't hear it all summer, but getting ready for the podcast, and it's like I hear rock elements, I hear country elements, I hear R&B elements, especially, you know, some of the newer stuff too, it's like a little more progressive, but it's just like genre bending stuff, you know what I mean? It's like all over the place. It's super cool.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm born and raised in Nashville, grew up in country music. It's my, you know, my favorite genre. It's home. And I say country music too these days. It's the way you tell the story.
Yeah.
I think it's always been country music tells a story a certain way.
Yeah.
The best storytellers in the world, in my opinion. And, you know, timbre and production and things are going to change. And it's always like, oh, you don't sound like Willie. Well, yeah, if I did, that'd be copying Willie. It's like, so I like to blend in what I learned, what I loved and grew up as far as production wise.
Mm-hmm.
But the storytelling is what always stays country to me. And that's what I love to see these new artists like. They do this genre is letting people come in and kind of explore that.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I'm not a big on the fence kind of guy with is this country or not. It's, I think you can kind of tell based on the personality of the person and what the story's, you know, kind of lending itself to.
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like I was a little bit more gatekeepy when I didn't live in town.
Sure.
And then when I got here, I was like, oh, everyone's just exploring, right? And,
yeah, absolutely.
And every artist from every genre has been exploring, right? Like, if you think about Ray Charles and the greats, right? Like, Ray was all over the place in terms of, like, he had a country record, but most of his stuff was R&B and some of it was pop, you know?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Seeing that happen with all the different artists, it's like, okay, this makes a lot more sense. You know?
Yeah, and I just love seeing Nashville grow beyond just country, just fiddles and pedal steel, which I absolutely love too. Like I love seeing everyone come in and finding their place. It's creating new music. It's creating new styles of music that's unique, and that's what makes an artist an artist. In my opinion.
I agree. And that growth and the development over time of the sound, I think, is a big part of it, too.
For sure.
And, man, it's like you combining all these different sounds, but, like, when I hear a Mitchell tune, like, I know immediately it's a Mitchell tune. Like, such a distinct voice, as Nick would say. And also production-wise, I've noticed a couple things. Like, artists can have, you know, like, things that make their sound, and part of it for you is production, too, also.
Yeah, thank you, man. I love Jordan Schmidt. He's one of my best friends, and we started together. And he just, he was Nashville's best kept secret at the time.
Yeah.
Not so much a secret anymore, but I just love the way he approaches music. I like polished music too. Like I love a broke down record. Like I love what Jay Joyce does. I love the way Combs records sound, but I also love Michael Jackson records back in the day, big time. And so like, I love polished music, and we find a way to do that with real instruments. Like we go in the studio and cut real drums. There's nothing fake except, you know, keyboards.
Right.
But they're not keyboards playing drum parts, guitar parts. Like, these are all real players and real drums. We just polish it up and tighten it up because I just like that sound, man. I like the way it sounds in headphones. Way too loud when I crank it up because I damage my ears.
Yeah, yeah, man. Same. And putting me, you know, listening to everything with headphones on was a treat.
Oh,
there's
dude,
a lot of sonic things, too. It's like, even there was like a line about like a Christmas with like a bell. It's like, yeah.
Christmas in July,
and I could just hear the bell just a little bit,
yeah,
but only with ear, you know,
awesome.
Just like,
you see, thank you for seeing that.
Yeah, and there was another line too where it was like maybe like a line about a church. I forget what song it was.
Yeah,
and I heard just a tiny bit of a church bell in there too, which is fun to put, you know, with headphones on. Is a how you should listen to this new record, I think.
Man, thank you. Yeah, and I like to hide those little things in there.
Little tasty nuggets in there.
Yeah, I remember like searching forever for church bells that I really liked.
Uh-huh.
And like finding the right ones in the key, and like it was, yeah, man. Thanks for noticing that. That's cool.
It's but it's not like overdone, like in your face or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just want you to feel like it's almost like, oh, that makes sense. It's there. Like when you live next to a train and it's not annoying anymore, it just becomes a part of your atmosphere.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, that's just part of the way that nature sounds around my house, you know. Mm-hmm. Kind of one of those.
Well, let's talk about, I want to talk about the tune that you got to do with Aaron and the Underoath guys.
Yeah, dude.
Because that was so sick. I actually tried to get him to join us for this. But,
oh, dang.
Yeah, but he doesn't get home until tomorrow.
Oh, man, that would be awesome, yeah.
You can come in. When he does one with us, you can come back.
Yeah, I'll come back. I'll come in now for sure. I'd love to.
So I think it's so sick. I listened to Underoath growing up, too. And I got a call from Aaron I met Aaron actually in the studio. And I was playing steel guitar on a session or something. And I was like, oh, shit, Aaron's in here. Like, what is he doing here? I didn't even live in Nashville. It was so weird.
Yeah, right.
And now, like, he's calling me to play on records and stuff. Like, now he's, like, producing, like, Ray Lynn and stuff, which is, like, such a weird small town thing. But,
that, I was like, that's awesome, man. What a weird combination.
Yeah. You want to talk about ear damage? That guy's got some ear damage for sure, man.
So I was like, what? Yeah. What?
Yeah. So tell us about how you and him got hooked up and how that collab came to be, because it's jamming, bro.
Dude, thank you. That was so much fun. So full circle for me too. I, you know, was in the scene as much as you could be in the scene. Wanted to be Underoath. I was a drummer, screamer, singer. Mm-hmm. Had the mic hanging over. I wanted to be Aaron Gillespie, dude, so bad. And I guess the first time we met, we were writing. I got a call, excuse me, from my publisher asking if I wanted to write with Aaron Gillespie, and I was like,
what?
From Underoath? And like, and I was like, absolutely. Like, are you kidding me? He's in town. He's like, yeah, he's been here trying to write some country stuff. I was like, 100%. So my buddy Andy Albert, do you know Andy Albert?
Mm-mm.
An incredible songwriter, another guy. He used to be in a band called Holiday Parade back in the day, in the scene too, but has written a bunch of country hits. And I called him. I was like, dude, I got an opportunity to write with Aaron Gillespie. You want to write with me that day? So we both did. And we wrote a song that got cut by Cheat Codes. And we went to the bar afterwards, had some drink, and just talked life and became instant, like, best friends.
Yeah.
And I was just so blown away. It was like, how did I get to this point to be able to sit in a room with someone I admired and, like, truly wanted to be like? And we just wrote a song, and now we're friends. Like, and the age gap's not that. I mean, it's like 10 years, whatever. But it's like we feel like we've known each other our whole lives. And so, yeah, I got the guts and I asked him, I was like, hey, would you want to feature just on my record? I'd love for you to sing. And he goes, well, let's do it Underoath. And I was like, well, I wasn't going to ask, but by all means. I never met Spencer, but we had kind of DM'd a little bit online. He came in, we wrote that song together, me, him, and Jordan. Schmidt, me, Spencer, Aaron, Jordan Schmidt, and seeing Spencer scream on it, like, in front of me, like, and then Aaron singing his part, I was just like, what's happening, man? Those are those pinch me moments where it's like, this is cool as shit. And yeah, I got to take pictures with them. Like, I was in the band. Like, I looked really cool. And all my high school friends, like, called me immediately and were like, what the hell? Like, I had a buddy reach out yesterday that I haven't talked to in 10 plus years that we were going to the same shows, Under Oath shows. Mm-hmm. He's like, holy shit, dude, I just heard this song. Like, how does, and I'm like, man, that's cool. Thanks for reaching out.
It, like, sounds like 2004, like, in the best way ever.
Yeah, dude, we chased the only Chasing Safety record. I mean, like, you Reinventing Your Exit.
Yeah.
And which I love, because there are some gatekeepers in that market that did not really get the country thing. And I do love this, too. They're like, oh, they sold out for the money on this one. I'm like, y'all are funny. There's no money on this one. like, Aaron's just been writing country songs and throwing a bone to his buddy. But yeah, man, it's cool to see people be like, this isn't Under Oath at all. And I'm like, dude, it is exactly Under Oath.
Yes,
bro, I sent this to my buddy Mario. I go, this is just like an extended track off that record.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to be, because that's when I was falling in love with that music. And they were so much fun to do that with, man. So cool.
Man, I was listening to it in iTunes or Apple Music, whatever. You can click like view credits, and I was like looking at the writing. It was just like the guys in the band and you and your producer. I'm just like, that's so sick.
Yeah, man, it was so much fun. It was cool to like see. I've always wondered like how would they wrote and like how and they were just great collaborators.
Yeah,
like Aaron and Spencer, like they get it. I remember looking through their booklet and trying to figure out like what some of the words they were screaming were, like, how did you write? And like, and then I finally got to ask him, like, what was this lyric? Cause it says it's this lyric in the booklet, but he goes, no, it wasn't that. It's sign, not the word sign, not tie. Mm-hmm. It's like, so sign me up, like, so tie me up. And I got to ask him in person. I'm like, that's so cool that, like, you know, I get to do that.
Have you ever like gone on like death metal lyrics and like read with there and it's like, and you read what they're actually singing about, it's like disgusting, bro. It's hilarious.
Oh my god, yeah. There was a From First to Last, which Sonny, he's Skrillex now.
Wait, what?
So From First to Last lead singer, his name is Sonny, he is Skrillex. And he was like a young kid, like he had to lie about his age, I believe, to be in that band. But I used to read those lyrics, I couldn't tell, and it was like, so like I'll hide you in the walls, I'll wear your skin as a suit. And your friends will love you more than they used to. Like, it's like, I didn't know that. I was like, okay, I'm still going to scream it and sing it.
Do you think like death metal bands get in a room, like a Music Row, and they got like their computers out and are like writing, you know, 11 to 2 or whatever? Like, what about like wear your skin? And like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that's cool.
I would have pictured that would be amazing. Yeah, like, okay, it's time for lunch now. We'll come back and finish the, where we're going to hide the body later. But, I always wonder. I mean, I think they probably sit in a dark room and figure that out.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like some of these metal bands like live some of that. There's like bands that have like gone to prison and stuff like in Iceland or some shit.
Yeah, I think like As I Lay Dying's dude just got out of jail.
Oh,
didn't
God.
He like something happened?
Some dark shit.
He tried to like kill his wife or something. I don't know.
Quote him.
Don't quote me. I can't remember. I don't know. It might be a whole different band. But like, yeah, some people, you know, live the lifestyle.
He tried to hire a hit person.
Tried to hire a hit person or something like that. Could be a rumor. It could be like the Marilyn Manson rib rumor. I don't know.
That's like a outlaw country on steroids or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Metal, I mean, rock in general leans on heavier things and, you know, weirder things.
Yeah.
But the metal scene's the most aggressive of that for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. I did an interview because we called it demon, and they're like, why is everyone using devil and demon in country music again? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Maybe he's around more than ever these days, I guess. But it's, I don't know, demon and devil are rock, man. It's just rock and roll.
It's coming back, no doubt. It's funny, too, because I listen to country music, obviously, and I'm like, I hear a song, I'm like, I know what this song's about. But it's like, growing up, like, listening to Tool, I'm like, I have no idea what any of this music's about, but it rocks. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's back to my point of what country music is to me. It's the storytelling.
Yeah.
That. But yeah, there's certain songs that I don't care at all what it says. It just feels good.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid listening to The Hook by Blues Traveler.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And I had listened to it a bunch and just, you know, singing along, not paying attention. And then it hit me what they were saying. And I was like, oh, they got me so good. You know, yeah. The hook does bring you back, it, you know.
It's God, man, rest in peace. What a player, yeah. Too.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, case in point. Yeah, what was another one for me? It was the other kids with the pumped up kicks. Yep. It's about a school shooting or something. Yeah. Like, yep. I'm like, if everyone's like jumping around, it's like, outrun my bullet. Like, I'm like, oh, okay.
Outrun my gun.
Yeah, outrun my gun. Yeah, it's like, you wouldn't even, which is, you know, terrifying, obviously, but it's, that's rock, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's, and I mean, I think some of the earliest of that's maybe like Ozzy, you know, where kind of like,
sure,
he wrote in a fantasy world, you know, mm-hmm, almost like it's demons and all of that.
Are we going to talk about Dio?
Kurt's favorite band, Dio. Yeah.
I just fucking love Dio. I love playing D&D and I love Dio. And like,
I love that, man.
Yeah. All this like rock stuff is coming into country. Mm-hmm. I'm like waiting for like Dio to come to country. Nick's like, I don't know if chicks are going to get into this ever.
Like, hey, man. Fuck. Never know.
Kurt's like, I want to start a band that's like Dio with a lead singer of the Georgia Thunderbolts. And I'm like, let's bro, go, I don't know if we're ready for it yet.
Dude, you got to start somewhere, man.
It's like that scene in Back to the Future where it's like your parents, you won't like understand this, but your parents will or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, who plays guitar, your kids will. Wrong way, but.
That's great. I want to hear it. When you do it, let me know.
Yeah. Well, then, so. Let's jump back a little bit and let's go into the tour thing a little, because I want to know, I'm curious as to like what size venues y'all are playing. Like,
yeah, I mean, anywhere from like, you know, like 1200 to 4000, but you know, it's tough. We're in that weird spot of like, mm-hmm, especially like when you got people doing stadiums over here,
mm-hmm, yeah,
it's like, there's not like really this middle ground anymore. It's kind of faded out. It's either like you're doing the clubs or you like hop up to like arenas to stadiums, like,
yep,
which now it's like, now it's stadiums. It used to be, oh, you can do arenas. Now it's like, oh, but you can't do stadiums.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's nuts, man. And it's awesome. Yep. I mean, it's cool to see that, you know, country music can fill out a stadium, which,
yeah,
just one more thing, like seeing those shows every night, seeing people singing Luke Combs songs and y'all like to the top of the stadium standing up, like, is blowing my mind. Like, I never would have thought country music could get to that point growing up in Nashville. I mean, Garth was doing his kind of thing, but it was so fascinating. And it's because it's made an impact on these people's lives. Like, these songs have been a part of a child being born or a hardship in their life or something that they want to celebrate at the tip top of a stadium, singing every word. And I just think that's so cool, man. But we're not there yet.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I was at the tip top of the stadium when we played in, where was that? We did one of the baseball stadiums, I think.
Milwaukee, the first one was insane.
Okay, that and then when you guys did Iris.
Yeah, that was Milwaukee. Iris, that dude, that made me emotional. I remember walking off that stage and tearing up on that night. That was special. That was cool.
I had some friends in town, and then I got lost trying to get back to our green room, and then I was up there. I was up really high. I was kind of curious. I'm like, what's it like being up here?
Yeah.
And it was just, you guys were rocking it, dude. Oh, I love that cover too.
Thank you, brother.
And I love the solo being played on a steel guitar. Shout out to Justin Shipper for playing on that. Yeah,
absolutely.
It sounds
I wish
so
I could afford him on stage. It'd be awesome to have him there.
Yeah.
But yeah, he he's so killer, man. I love the way he brings his steel in and does like our style, mm-hmm, with his steel. People are all like, oh, that's a programmed electric guitar. I'm like, no, it's not. I promise you. That's him with his own pedals and his own thing, figuring out sounds that like you haven't heard with a steel before. And I think that's so, you notice that, which I appreciate. That's pretty cool.
Well, when I was, you know, listening to the record, I kind of, like I said, on Apple Music, I like to pull up the credits and see who's playing on and who you're working with and who you're writing with and all that. And just because it's like, you know, I like playing on records too. I want to know, like, what are people doing these days? And it's like, sometimes I hear steel on something and then I look at the credits and it just says programming. I'm like, I'm going to lose my job here. But it was cool to see that you're actually using steel guitar.
Oh, man, he's in every session we do, every single one. We got to get you in too, do something cool. That'll
hell yeah.
Fun.
I like trying to hear too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. We got like, I don't know, probably 70 different takes of all the Iris cellos and violin and just everything she played.
I'd love to go.
It took forever to go through it all, but yeah, it was awesome.
Sometimes like when I'll play on a session, I'll, you know, if it's just overdubs or something, hey, I just need a quick overdub. I'll do like four or five passes and just send and let them comp it however they want.
Sure, or, yeah.
And but sometimes I like to play them all at once and just pan them.
Oh yeah, dude. Oh my God, it's massive. We did that. And it was fun, and I was like, honestly, let's just put a version out of just that.
Yeah.
Actually, you hear me? That would be a lot of fun. It sounds amazing. it's really cool because it's so wide and it's like you can spread it out across the whole 180.
Yeah. But,
that's
yeah,
when you're man, having a, you know, a little
too much fun. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. A couple like... little smokies.
Yeah.
It happens.
That's what I remember. Kurt talking to me about spatial audio and yeah, listening to that in the AirPods when those came out. And then I remember going in and talking to someone and they were like, you have to hear it in a studio. It's insane.
Yeah, I think, and that's the thing. It's kind of set up for, yeah, you have to spend $180,000 on speakers to really hear, right? I remember hearing our first one because they have that Apple studio over in Wedgwood, Houston.
Yeah.
With it's, I mean, it's incredible, but it's like, yeah, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
But like the first time I heard it, I was like hearing reverb over here. Like mm-hmm, it was like reverb behind me, just the reverb of my vocal. And it was like, but like once you got over the purest side of it, and I just immersed myself. It was really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, you gotta figure that out. It's just you're not used to hearing stuff that way.
Right.
So like yeah, it took a minute to kind of get used to that, but it's fun.
The first time I ever listened to spatial audio is, I've never like sat in a room and done it. Have you?
Oh yeah, you got to do it, man. They'll set you up.
Well, if anyone in Apple wants to reach out and yeah, bring that one over, we'd love to come and hang out and listen to some tunes. But I had eaten an edible and I was in my bunk and I thought I'm tired of listening to the same old shit I always listen to. And I'm going to just listen to something different. And I just got these new headphones and I didn't know that they were equipped with spatial audio. And so I went through and I was looking at playlists and it was like spatial audio, the new sound. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
And so and for whatever reason, it was like this country playlist of spatial audio. And it was like a bunch of UMG artists. And so I went on the playlist. I tried to find something I really knew. And there was a Kanan Smith song. And it was like, Love You Like That in spatial audio. Yeah. And I've heard that song a million times and toured with that guy. And he's a good buddy of mine. So I'm like, I'm going to listen to this. And I thought I hit play. And I thought my headphones weren't Bluetooth connected. And that the sound was in my bunk. And then I was waking up my neighbors.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? I don't know the technology of how it works in the headphones because it's still stereo, but it's like, it is crazy. Yeah, the first time I did it in headphones reminded me of that record by, maybe it was Delamitri, I think, that Roll to Me record. Mm-mm. It's like, Roll to Me. Anyway, had the drums all panned to this side and the vocal on this side. And when in the car, you don't really notice it.
Yeah.
But like, it's wild. And that was back in, I don't know, 20 years ago. But it felt like that. It was like kind of threw me off everywhere.
It kind of like breaks down like the wall of sound thing. So if that's what you want, you know, it's like, man, I'm probably not going to use it for Nickelback, but like,
sure,
you know, but like, and then it sounded like there was a guitar amp in my bunk and you can just, I felt like I could just look at it and I could see someone playing like this guitar part.
That's wild.
And then getting a little baked and listening to classical music with that on, it's pretty cool.
I haven't thought about some Beethoven or something, you know, some Bach.
Or like a whole orchestra, man.
Yeah, you know, man, like, Jesus. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's a bunch.
I think the first one I listened to is Casey Musgrave's record at I think, your recommendation. And
so good.
With my eyes open, it felt kind of normal. But as soon as I closed my eyes, I just felt like I was fully engulfed by it.
I love that. That's cool. I'm gonna have to do that tonight.
Done. Yeah.
Do it.
With the check out, and I love Casey, so I'm gonna check that one out.
Oh, that record's great. I meant Spatial.
Which one? Which one's in Spatial? Or are they both?
I think it's
they are. Golden Hour.
Golden Hour. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it was fun to just to like again because that was like my first experience of it.
Yeah,
I listened to like one or two other songs, and then I listened to that record, and I was just like, whoa.
That's killer. Well, yeah, y'all gotta get into that Apple one and hear it with the speakers. Yeah. As well.
Well, I'm sure Tim Cook will reach out to us.
I don't even know if he knows that exists. It's there.
Oh, that's crazy. So one of the things I like to do on the podcast is we do have a lot of like younger artists and songwriters that listen to the podcast.
Sure.
So if you could go back and talk to, you know, the you that is starting out in music, what is some of the things that you would either say to make sure you keep doing or any life lessons that you learned that would maybe help someone on that line?
Man, for me, the industry changes so fast these days. So, like, going back and telling them to relate to what I had to relate to is kind of, I think, useless. I think the one timeless thing, as far as advice, would be build a good team of solid, people, man, of solid people, of good people that believe in what you're doing and that are going to go with the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs, and be a good person. This industry will take a lot from you. It'll give you a lot, but it'll take a lot. And if you don't have good people to lean on and to do it with, you don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
There's advice different, but like how to sign a record deal or what to do. That's going to change so fast.
Yeah.
But if you build a strong core of good people,
yeah,
you stand a chance more than anybody. And I think that it starts there. Be a good person. Everyone in town can sing. Everyone can play. You're not special. Just remember that.
Yeah.
You're not special.
Damn.
But you can be special to a lot of other people, your camp and your friends, and get some opportunities to play music for a living.
Yeah.
And if you do it that way, you're going to get calls like I got yesterday where you get nominated for something or your song hits. Like you're going to get those every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, way less than you get the other calls. But when you have that, you get to celebrate with the guys that are coming with you.
Yeah.
And I think, for me, if any advice, just start there. Get you a good manager that you love and that you're going to fight with, like your brother and sister or brother and brother, and build your team around you of you know, diehards. That'd be my advice.
I think that's super powerful, too. And I worked at, a record label, Big Loud, for like a year and a half. Yeah. And I just got to see the power of 30 people pointing in the same direction.
Amen.
You know, it's powerful.
That's
you know?
It. If everyone's on the same page, you stand a chance.
Yeah.
If not, it's really, really hard. Doesn't matter how good it is, man.
Yeah.
You got to have a lot of people believing in it. And yeah, man, it's just hard. People don't want to hear you complain. So you got to have a group of people you can complain to.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, you're doing fine. It's music. And it's like, yeah, but it's hard, man. There's a lot you miss out on being on the road all the time.
Yeah.
There's a lot you get to see, but you know, there's a lot of bursts. I've missed my uncle's funerals. I missed a lot of things,
weddings,
birthdays, for great stuff, but like stuff that nobody else is going to understand you bitching about. So
yeah,
build that core for sure.
Well, you gave a good segue a little bit ago to talk about that award you were just nominated for.
Oh no. Yeah.
Why don't we,
the old guy and the new, in the new artist category.
No, it's funny too though, because I mean, as you know, people that are kind of in this world, we of course know the artists that are you see bubbling up for a long time. But I mean, in the industry, I think it's like you haven't won any other awards yet.
No, yeah. So well, I've never been nominated for a CMA. So technically, I think you can do it twice. So, I don't know, but yeah, like I don't know, 2018 or 19, whenever Drunk Me was doing his thing, we got a nomination for ACM for new artist.
Yeah,
didn't win that, but was honored. And then just been grinding and doing everything since, and woke up yesterday to a few congratulations. I truly didn't know that they were announcing it yesterday.
That's crazy.
Because she knows that I don't know, and I got a few congratulations, like, for what? Like, and I'm waking up in where were we, New Hampshire somewhere, and I texted my manager. She wasn't even awake yet. I'm like, what is everyone congratulating us for? And then I got on Instagram and saw that. I was like, oh wow, amazing, man. My team worked really hard for that, and those are the wins, man. Those are the little wins where you call everybody and say, man, congrats.
Mm-hmm.
Win or lose, whatever happens. I mean, there's so much talent in there. I mean, what some of those people are doing. I mean, Megan's killing it right now. Bailey's killing it. Nate, who else? And Shabuzi's up there with that big monster song.
Yeah.
It's best new artist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
maybe Zach also.
And Zach Top, who I just freaking love what Zach Top's doing, man. And so, but it's like everyone's comparing. It's like, oh, Zach Top or Mitch. It's like, I'm not even going to compare. We're so different. I love what he's doing, man. I love the style he's bringing back. And I love that he's a player more than anything. As a player, or consider myself, not even close to, but. I love the way he came on the scene hot, man. And I'm sure if you ask him, he's not new. But like to other people,
no one's new.
It's a weird category, but I'll take it, man. It's an honor to be recognized by your peers for sure.
I think it's like you're saying, it's great to be nominated. What was it, Jelly that won a new artist?
Jelly won last year. We're both born and raised in Nashville. I've known Jelly for 20 years. Like,
right.
Doing it when he was rapping. Like, it is. I remember when Justin Moore won. I mean, like, and it was like he was 3 in.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever. And like I said, Nate Smith's older than me. Come on, Nate. So, I kept seeing a couple memes. I'm like, hey, wait a second. Like, he's 35 with 5 records. I was like, well, it's 3 records, and I'm not 38. So I will be.
We'll take it though.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Amen.
I don't know. It feels good. You know, you say your team worked hard for that. You worked hard for that, of course.
Yeah.
Your talent, your songwriting, all of that.
Thanks.
So live show, of course. But that feels good, doesn't it?
It does feel good, man. Yeah. There's like I said, those wins keep you going. Mm-hmm. It's like catching a fish, like hitting a good golf ball.
Yeah.
After you hit 90 bad ones, but one goes 5 feet of the hole, you're like, I'm gonna devote my life to this.
Yes. It's like heroin in your veins.
Yeah, it is. It's the best. It's definitely the best drug, man. It's better than any substance. Getting those phone calls, celebrating with your team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it gives you the energy to keep going.
I know you're an avid golfer. Do you get to golf at all while you're out on the road?
Yeah, I try to as much as possible. That's the cool thing about this industry too. You meet cool people. You meet people with a lot of money and nice country clubs that like to take you out for free and your buddies and let a bunch of rednecks swing some clubs out there. So
that's great.
Yeah, man, got to play some really cool courses. I got to play Augusta this year.
Wow.
2 weeks before the tournament, so the azaleas were blooming. Man, I busted it right down the middle somehow. Hole one, parred it. And then it was terrible after that. But like my dream was to always do that. Me and my dad, that's what we did growing up, was golf together. Mm-hmm. And if he would have, I mean, I know he was watching, but if he could have known like how I got that opportunity, I have no clue. But somebody somewhere liked the song and offered it. And, you know, we're not, who am I to not take it?
Yeah.
So those kind of things are really, really cool, man. That the perks of the music industry, I guess, for sure.
Hey, there was one night on tour, we had some famous golfer out. Remember we were all drinking beers.
Oh, y'all had wait, who was it?
Wait, was that a Saturday night you were there, or was that
Friday night? No, I wasn't there. It was a Friday, but y'all were telling me, who was it? Oh, it was John Rahm. Y'all had John Rahm there, which I really wanted to meet. He's one of my favorite golfers. Was he cool?
I didn't really hang out with him.
Oh, okay, cool.
But they apparently, you know, it's like, you know how it is after the show, drink some beers.
Yeah.
And then we have like a golf simulator set up. My buddy Liam is like, comes on the road and gives golf lessons to everybody, mainly Luke.
That's awesome,
yeah. Did you ever meet him or no?
I did not. See, yeah, no. I didn't get the golf lessons. I loved them.
A lot of times, like on, he would leave like Saturday mornings, like
Come
in Thursday, hit, and then golf on Friday, and then. But so John and Liam were kind of having like a little dick swinging contest, I guess, about club speed, like back there and everything. But
that's funny.
A lot of good times, man. It's fun, man. Golf is. I kind of, we played when we were in Moncton recently.
Yeah.
And Luke rented the course out, this course.
Good for him.
And and we played it from like 2:30 or like 3 o'clock till it got dark. And we just had the cart gal with the drinks just followed us the entire time.
That's,
and we just had
amazing.
A huge time, bro. Well,
that's what it's all about, especially now. It's like getting anywhere where you're like 4 or 5 hours unbothered and it's you against yourself. I mean, I know you can make bets and challenge your friends, but like golf for me is me versus me.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how am I going to react to a bad shot? Am I going to forget about it and hit a good shot? It's such a good practice for this industry too. It's like, what am I going to do next after this bad news? How am I going to hit the good? How am I going to get the good news? And so I don't know. It's like, it's such a mental game and it's healthy, dude. It's healthy to compete against yourself like that sometimes.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And being outdoors, man, it's such a refreshing. Being anywhere outdoors for that long, I love it.
You can get a couple steps in sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Walking back to the cart, you know?
I need it, man, with the Luke Holmes catering.
Oh, boy.
Was it better than the Jordan Davids catering?
Nah, I mean, we had good catering there, too, but Luke, my man, knows how to eat, too. So
yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt. We had good on that tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kurt had me out for the one run of shows. We did some podcasts and stuff on the road. And the catering was way more like awesome than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
I've had some catering before, you know, like, but it was like tacos.
Sometimes it's hit or miss. Yeah.
No, man, that was amazing. It was super cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much.
Yes. Yeah.
So did my team.
I also heard that you disc golf a little bit.
I love disc golf, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We just bought a little property, new house. And I started putting some baskets up all around and we're in the woods.
Yeah.
And so kind of making my own little course.
That's great.
I love it. I've been doing that since I was a kid. And I love that it's popular. It's getting popular now and more courses are popping up. And, man, it's free for the most part. I mean, there's some courses that are like $10 or something.
Still, that's
20
great.
Bucks. But for the most part, it's free, man. I mean, except for the price of the disc. So
yeah,
I love that you can get outdoors cheaply, do something with your kids or your family.
Yep.
That's not going to, you know, hurt the pocketbook, man. It's tough times now for a lot of this country. And, man, get outside and get your mind right and play something that ain't going to hurt you, man.
Yep.
It's good.
And that's a one of the things I say about disc golf is it's like tricking yourself into hiking.
Yeah, exactly.
Because a lot of times it's like hills and valleys.
Yeah,
and
you
stuff.
Don't even know because you're so concentrated on the next shot. It's like, that's what I have to do for run. Like I cannot just get on a track and run.
Yeah.
My body won't let me do that.
Yeah.
But I'll go play basketball. If you can trick me to run, that's how I do it.
It's
but
the move.
Dude, I love playing basketball.
Yeah. Let's do it. Come on.
Oh, yeah. We played when we did Arena Tour, we would play against Jordan's camp. Like,
yeah.
And it got pretty serious there towards the end. Like, it was pretty, I mean, you know, they're a bunch of guys. They were all very competitive.
They're tall, big
dudes,
too.
Yeah. And, but this is when I was, like, really into using my GoPro on stuff. And so I put my GoPro up on the backboard.
Oh, that's
and
smart.
And so
yeah.
I just record. I'm trying, if there's any funny plays, like, I would just pull it and clip it.
That's
and
great.
Then Luke hit this turnaround fadeaway jumper in Jordan's face for the game, I think.
Oh, no.
And, oh, yeah.
That's incredible.
And it's unbelievable. And so I got, I pulled the clip, and I'm like, yo, Combs, check this clip out. And he was, like, dying at it. And so we gave it to Hutch, our video director.
Yeah.
And so before, this was like the 360 tour. So like the stage is in the middle of the arena, so they would have to walk out. And so we're all with Jordan, you know, Luke and the band and crew and everybody. We're like, they're like, all right, man, have a good show. And they're like, wow, you guys are coming out to see us off. This is cool. And we're like, yes, this is why we're doing this. We love you guys. That's why. Well, then they look up at the scoreboard in the middle of the arena or the video wall or whatever. And it, you know, it said like Jordan Davis loses basketball, and they played
incredible.
The clip
that's
like
incredible.
before the game.
That's amazing, dude. Yeah, we just played pool basketball at Guilford this weekend and went at it.
Yeah,
like, we were a little afraid that we were going to get injured, but yeah, those boys compete. That is incredible. Also, I love the fantasy football loss for Luke's buddy y'all did with walking to Memphis. That's way to use a stadium the right way, all the way around.
Yeah, so was that the show you were there?
Yep.
Where was that? Not
Cincy.
Cleveland, Cincinnati. Yep. Yeah,
Cincy. Yeah.
So just so everyone knows, Luke's in a fantasy football team, like draft, kind of like y'all are with your buddies from high school.
Yeah.
And the losers had to sing on stage with Luke, and for whatever reason, it's Walking to Memphis. They bought blue suede shoes for that.
Yeah, they went full. It was great. I mean, like, who else can say, oh, you lose, play my stadium?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's
not
probably,
too many
guys. It's going to be hard to beat that. Most people just wear the other team's jersey or wear a dress to golf, but I think that works.
And as bad as it sounded, no offense to you know those guys, but it's like we had to rehearse that because they'd never won in-ears before. So
they were wearing, right.
They had ears in, and there's teleprompters, which is nice, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty funny, man.
The crowd was singing too. Y'all
song's
y'all killed
smash,
it. Yeah,
dude,
I mean,
I
geez,
love that
yeah.
song. Well, it's not even like sing a Memphis. Yeah,
it's like, such a great melody.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't sing like you do.
No. Put on my blue. It's such a good song, man.
Oh yeah.
That was super fun, and it was cool, like, cause I like got to meet those dudes like that weekend.
Yeah.
And they were a little nervous, and they were like talking about it like lightly, and I didn't know exactly what was going down, like what was happening. And then when I saw them pop up, I was like,
oh, they killed it. I remember talking to them backstage afterwards. They had the confidence going too. They were like, yeah, we just did it. I was like, yeah, you did, bro.
It's kind of hard to sing because the piano is like boom, 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 boom. I can't even snap and do it at the same time, but it's like really syncopated. And so it's like, yeah, it's like trying to come in right. So Tyler was like, mouthing it.
That's true. You might have to go four on the floor just for them. Like.
Yeah. But that was a good time, man. I missed the tour already.
Yeah, man. We're here anytime y'all want.
You're like, just holler next year.
Yeah. Come on.
No, it was super cool. And you guys were talking about from stage, just hearing all those people. So for me, I'd always been in the crowd, right? So I was part of that thing, and that sounds one way. But when I got to see it from side stage and just hear the noise level when a song kicked in and just the crowd roaring and then the crowd singing songs, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I know you guys like have ears in and stuff, so you probably don't maybe hear
as much. I take
mine
out. I take one out a lot to try. I mean, we have crowd mics, but they just don't translate the same way.
It's
like
crazy.
Especially on the few songs that they were singing back in the stadium, like the radio ones. Like, it feels like a war cry. It's so cool.
It's so great.
And it's a little delayed, so you have to. I have this one blasting just to stay on the button. It's like.
You should alternate so cool. which ear you take out.
I need to. So yeah, I went to the voice doctor and whatever. And she's like, do you pull your in-ears out? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, don't do that.
Yeah.
And she goes, and at least balance it out. I never do because it's easier for me to play guitar and take my right hand up and put it back in real quick. Mm-hmm. So this left ear is screwed, but it is what it is. Rock and roll.
Yeah, I try to take them both out when I do. And like sometimes when we're playing and I don't really need to hear myself, if I'm just playing something simple, like on if we play Fast Car and it's like there's a bunch of verses, I'm not playing anything, I'll just pop my ears out and just listen to the crowd sing these verses. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's awesome. That's a great feeling. Man. That's why I miss it already.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome experience, man. Thanks for letting us be a part of it.
Of course, man. Yeah. Not that I had anything to do with it, really, but I had fun. It was fun drinking beers with you guys after the show, for sure.
Yeah, it's I've actually noticed, like, my ears, I'm going to invest in a good pair of ear protection. I mean, I've always gone to shows, but that was like once a week, maybe. You know?
Do you have molds? Now. Do you have in-ears?
No, not yet.
I mean, those can be used as ear protection too, man. They pretty much, whether you have something plugged into it or not, can get the best of both worlds. Those things. Yeah.
Actually, Nick got me for this off Amazon. It's like a pill holder that I just keep drugs in it. No, I'm just kidding. earplugs.
Yeah.
So
they make all kinds of cool ones that let certain frequencies in. So it's not just like, you know, the foam ones anymore.
Yeah.
So you can still hear a live show.
Yep.
Especially if, like, you're a producer and you need your ears, like, like a mixer and stuff. Like, I know a bunch of my friends have the new ones that, like, they're at shows, they're always wearing, but they still let, like, you can hear and feel the show, but not damaging you.
Yeah. I'd gotten, like, some of the eargasm ones.
Yeah.
Those work. They're solid, but I still have to take them out anytime someone's trying to talk to me.
Sure.
So that's the problem that I've, like, tried to figure out. So I'm trying to figure out an option for that where, because if I'm in a round, I mean, we host a lot of rounds now, but the full band ones are what are really loud. So we're doing the full band showcase now on Wednesdays. So it's like, that's, I feel like since we started that, I'm feeling my ears like start to go a little more.
Yeah,
which
man.
Is bad.
It's so good.
I know.
It is, yeah.
So what I've been doing is just hanging out outside of the room. So like, and not being in direct line of speaker.
It's I don't know how avoidable it truly is, man. I just think it's kind of what comes
part of
the territory.
Thing.
Yeah. I went to Slipknot not too long ago, a bunch of us, and it was so loud though. I mean, we were up in a box like far away from the stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's like me, Hardy, Devin Dawson, Dan and Shay, a bunch of the guys that we play music every
night.
Used
to be in the scenes.
And we all looked at each other like, this is hurting you, right? And then we're like, everyone's like, yeah, are we getting old? Like, we were like, let's step out in the hallway, and we all were like, wow, man. Wow. Are we old? Like, that was like painful somehow. I mean, it was an awesome show, but like, I don't remember ever complaining about noise.
Yeah.
But it was like, this is loud, man. It was super loud.
I don't think that's an age thing, man. It's like, I like concerts to feel loud, but it's like when you're like, when it's too loud, like, I just can't have fun. Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. Happens even at the local thinking sometimes. The whole time in my day, like, I can't, I'm thinking about how loud it is instead of the music.
Yeah.
And I love Slipknot. It was awesome. But it was like, we were far away too. I can't imagine. Like
right up front.
I mean, what was happening too? I mean, whatever.
Was that with their new drummer?
Yeah, this was last year, so I don't think so.
Okay, so Jay was probably still drumming. He's sick of drums. Yeah. I met him at a bar in town. And I was just like, oh, cool. Hey, you playing Slipknot. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jay, nice. Jay Weinberg.
Like, yeah, dude.
Rips on drums.
Absolutely. I love them. Them and Korn, man. I've seen them a few times. I love their shows, but yeah. It was loud. I was old.
Yeah.
Hey, did you go see Creed?
Yeah, I saw Creed when they came to Nashville years ago at the arena. I love Creed. I love Nickelback. I love Creed. I don't screw you. I don't care.
I mean, we know you do. Yeah. We can tell.
No, it's one of those things too where it's cool like seeing some of that stuff circle back. You know?
Yeah, dude. I got I did like a TikTok of me singing, you know, with arms wide open, just like whatever. And I was doing a video for our song "Breaking My Heart." And I got a text from Scott Stapp out of nowhere. Said, hey, buddy, I got your number from somebody. I just saw you did a video of mine. Love the song, man. Would love to write sometime. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, remember, you know, I showed my manager. They were all there. And I'm like, and you knew who they were. Kristen did not. I was like, this is Scott freaking Stapp, dude. Like, I'm freaking out, man.
That's going to be your next collab, dude.
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's you, like, badass photo with Creed.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was Mark Tremonti up there, man. Oh, I don't even know if he's still in it.
He is. Yeah.
He's back in it. I play Tremonti guitars on stage now. Yeah.
Crazy.
But, yeah, that was another cool moment in the industry, getting a random text from Scott Stapp. Was pretty cool.
Damn, what's next, Godsmack?
Yeah, I mean, please, dude. All right, stand alone.
Sully.
That is so cool, man. Congrats. That's awesome.
Dude, thank you, man.
It's just like, I'm trying to think of like my high school self. I'm like, all right, well, yeah, you just got to get Metallica next and you're all set.
Oh, man, Lee, you know my tour manager. He would freak out if that ever happened. That would be same. Cool. I mean, same. I would too, but it's like, yeah, he's got a different Metallica shirt every single day. He's got like 100.
Yeah. I have noticed that.
Yeah, like rotating them.
You know, James listens to country music. He's always, since the 90s, he's been wearing like cowboy boots and shit.
He looks like such a badass rock star, dude.
He is.
Watch him, I mean, he is. But just seeing him smoke that cigar right before stage and then shaking and then walking on stage and just ripping.
I can't smoke a cigar before stage.
I don't know how he does. I can't smoke a cigar before a show night before. It's like, but good for him. And he's singing so powerfully the whole time. Lars is, you know, playing drums. But I think it's all part of the thing. Do you still play drums at all? Yeah, I do a little bit. I got to get my studio. We're building the studio again. I'll start playing a little bit more now once I have. I'm building a big drum room. I want to do more live drums for my demos instead of programming demos. But yeah, I miss it. I miss it. I don't play a lot because I don't, you know, we have a drummer that's great, way better than me. But when he's, yeah, Jimmy boy, when, yeah. But when his kid's set up and he's away from it, I hop on it.
Yeah.
Especially in the stadium. I was like, dude, I need 5 minutes. Take the ears off. I got to do this.
Hell yeah, dude.
He's like, hell yeah, man. Hitting some toms and some double kicks in a stadium was fun.
That's great.
I don't know, like, what's more fun, like playing a stadium show or just noodling at soundcheck in the stadium.
Dude, I was about to say, I think that was pretty cool.
The noodling
is
pretty fucking close.
Like, just you're playing your guitar, taking your ears off. Yeah.
And it just goes, zoom.
Nobody kept doing the Happy Gilmore boobies.
Well, when I was there, just getting to be on stage and see the vastness of the empty stadium was wild.
Yeah.
Right. Like when there's people in it, it kind of like feels right. Yeah. But when it was just nothing.
That was always the fun part. Getting up, get out of the bus in the morning, walk up and see what that perspective looks like.
Yeah.
It's like that was so cool. I mean, y'all are getting used to it now, I'm sure, but this tour was pretty special doing that, man.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll be doing it again soon, bud.
That would be a lot of fun. One day.
Yes, it would.
Let's do it.
Well, I think we've really enjoyed having you on, bud.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for the opportunity, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for coming
Big
out,
fans,
man.
Big fans, obviously, and friends, man. That's what it's all about. Congrats to you guys. This is awesome.
Man, thank you for being here. We love it. I remember listening to your music right when it was first coming out, it's kind of full circle to get to have you on, man, as a guest. We appreciate it.
No, that means a lot, man. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Well, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon, and we'll see you in the front row. Thanks, bud.